Hello, this is Father Randy Sly with another installment of Day by Day, where each day we take a look at a reading from Holy Scripture found in the Daily Mass. And today is Friday in the octave of Easter. And as you know, every other year what I've been doing is, during the Easter season, flip-flopping, and instead of reflecting on our Gospels, which we've covered many times during the year, we move to the first reading, which through this season is from the Acts of the Apostles. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After the crippled man had been cured, while Peter and John were still speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them, disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word came to believe, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. On the next day, their leaders, elders and scribes, were assembled in Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly class. They brought them into their presence and questioned them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he is saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which have become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as you can tell by the beginning of the reading, this altercation takes place right after the crippled man had been healed. Remember, a couple of days ago, Peter and John were entering into that area around Solomon's portico. There was this crippled beggar, and they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give unto thee." And they basically heal him. And this man then clings to Peter. He's just so excited by what God has done. He's been walking around and jumping and praising God. And so when they get to Solomon's portico and begin to preach, he begins to preach about Jesus, the one whom is promised from the Old Testament. And that's what he talks about. He talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence. And again, he goes through the whole thing of Jesus' passion, death, and ultimately his resurrection, and shows that he is the name, he is the one, the Messiah, that they need to trust for their salvation. And as he begins to make this proclamation, the priests, the captain, the temple guard, and the Sadducees confront him. And basically, they take him into custody, which means they put him in their jail. So here are Peter and John. They're in jail, and they're awaiting what might be next and what that might be on the minds of the Sanhedrin that's about to meet. And so Peter and John may be thinking, well, this could be just like Jesus, we could end up already losing our lives. But they really had no idea what was going to happen next. But they were in jail overnight. The next day, there was this basically a roll call of all of the famous leaders. And you have the high priest, Annas. We have Caiaphas, who was the previous high priest and probably still holds a lot of influence among the Sanhedrin, the ruling elders. You've got John, Alexander, and all other of the high priests. And so you have this meeting of all of the Jewish leaders. And they bring Peter and John before them and basically say, you know, by what power or in what name are you doing this? And one of the things that's beautiful about the way that Luke frames this as he chronicled the Acts of the Apostles is he talks not just about who says what, but also by what power or in what anointing and what strength they're answering. Because he wants to make sure we understand it isn't just the person that's doing this. And so he says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them. So this wasn't just Peter's cleverness. It wasn't just Peter being able to think quickly on his feet. But he was inspired by the presence of the Holy Spirit, God himself, prophetically speaking through Peter. And so he basically takes them again through the genesis of what had just happened at the temple, that there was this cripple, and that it was the name of Jesus that was used and invoked upon this man to bring forth his healing. And not only this, not only for healing, but for salvation. As he says here, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was the name of Jesus Christ. And so it wasn't just that this cripple found healing. He also found salvation as he trusted in the name of Jesus. And again, one of the things we have to remember is that when they say by what name, it isn't just a name. It isn't that, you just have a certain name and you just give it. But the name basically encapsulates the fullness of who that person is. His influence, his authority, his position, his rank, his status, his reputation, everything is involved in his name. And so here again, they say, by what name? In other words, what gives you the credibility to stand here? You don't have that authority in and of yourselves. And so they make it very clear, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. And it's in his name this man stands before you healed. So then Peter does something again. Remember, this is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He is speaking way beyond where a fisherman would be able to speak. And he pulls out of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, that beautiful reflection on the fact that he is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And so again, he's really quoting that messianic text from the Old Testament, from Psalm 118, where we hear about the fact that the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And so he's reminding them that Jesus fits the description of this one whom was foretold in the Old Testament. And then they make that final he makes that final observation. There's no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven by which we are to be saved. That right there is a statement we need to hold on to. We have to remember we are not saved by our own good works. We are not saved because we are trying to be good people. We are saved. We are brought into that hope of eternal life by trusting in Jesus Christ and all that he did for us. That's why the salvation is in his name. That's everything he's about, his passion, death, resurrection, ascension, position in heaven, second person of the Godhead, the one who redeemed us on the cross, all of that is in his name. So when we trust in his name, we trust in the fullness of who Jesus is, and we know that he is the one that when we trust in him, he will bring salvation to us. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Really good reflection today at the end where Peter says, there is no salvation through anyone else. And I want to reiterate what I just said a moment ago, and that is, when we talk about eternity, when we talk about eternal salvation, it is based on our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. All of our good works, everything that we do, is the result of his saving work in our lives, not the reason for it. And let me repeat that. It is the result, not the reason. We don't do good works in order to earn salvation. We do good works because we have been invaded by God. He has taken on our life. And through his power, we are compelled as his disciples to love the world the way that he loves them. So may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.